don't you know, drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere, you can't stop it. Criminalize it like a puff and a bowl, and so it's longevity. Hey, Murph here. I'm a former heroin addict, current alcoholic, and you're tuned in to Self-Medicated Weekly Dose, a podcast all about drugs and the people who use them. As always, this program is inspired by the harm reduction movement, informed by my personal experience using all sorts of drugs for damn near 30 years, and enlightened by my special guests. And speaking of special guests, holy hell, do I have a special one on my hands today. He's a Grammy-winning songwriter out of Nashville, Tennessee. He's a dear old friend of mine, Luzerne County native son, the pride of Kingston. Please welcome to the program, Matty Rogers.
Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to.
The fans are here. The live audience is electric.
I love it. I can't call you Murph. I got to call you Matty.
Of course. No, this is a Matty. This is Matty on Matty right now.
Yes. It'll always be Matty.
Oh, my.
Dude, this is so fun, man.
Yeah, we were a bunch of punks in our middle school days, and now you're winning fucking Grammys.
Yeah, well, imagine that.
So tell the listeners a little. This is a whirlwind. This is this month. This is these recent Grammys.
February 5th.
Mm-hmm. And Best Country Song.
Best Country Song, yep.
Going up against some heavyweights, man. So this is very exciting. I was saying off mic, I'm going to say it on mic. I'm very proud of you. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, buddy.
And it's a very exciting thing. We have really quick, too, for some context. We've both tangled a little bit with the local media there in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yes.
We did the circuit, which is always fun. So I have a little video here.
Yeah.
Just to give the listeners some context here, because this was the press tour. This was the local Wyoming Valley press tour.
It's what we all dream of.
Fuck yeah. Here we are.
A man originally from Luzerne County was part of a Grammy win last night for Country Song of the Year.
Last night at the 65th Grammy Awards, did Cody Johnson's song Till You Can't won Country Song of the Year.
It was up against Taylor Swift.
Look at this handsome Lambert, SOB.
Willie Nelson, Maren Morris. Luke Combs. Luke Combs was in that category too. So it was for Country Song of the Year.
The co-writer of the song, Matt Rogers, is from Kingston, Pennsylvania.
Born and raised in Price Street, Kingston.
Price Street.
Went to Schuyler Avenue.
Right, buddy.
I went to Wyoming Valley West High School and middle school.
There you go,
Rogers
Maddie.
Said
yes.
He was surrounded by friends and family for the big win.
Oh man, so there he is.
Oh yeah.
The pride of Price.
The Price. I love it.
Man, yeah, we were banging around together back in our middle school days. Was there ever a thought? I mean, you were always a very talented musician. Was there ever a thought that you're just like, I'm gonna take to the Grammys? Like, are you one of these secret people? Like, you have the secret, or you have the vision board shit, or
no.
Are you just like, I'm just putting my head down, doing the work, and see what happens?
No, man. As a songwriter, you know, writing every day, all you want is to get on the radio. That's it. Awards, especially something like a Grammy, is so far out of reach that you just don't put your headspace there. You will not find a musician or songwriter, at least not in the experience that I have, who says, I just wrote a Grammy award winning song today. It just doesn't work that way. All you can say to yourself, wrote a good song today. Hopefully somebody likes it. And then you fucking move on. That's it. And so to be nominated was insane. And then to actually hear that we won was like, dude, you know, what the fuck happened?
That's wild. I haven't watched the Grammys in quite some time, but I did tune in just to see your name on the big board there on the back of the stage there.
Yeah.
We were throwing the names up. It was very fun.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's wild, man. So congrats. Congrats on that.
Thanks,
I'm just going to always refer to you now as a Grammy award winner. That's just part of your name now.
That's how it goes from now on. So if you and I run into each other at Murphy's back home, that's how you address me.
That's right. You sent me the Kramer GIF, the Tony, right? Wasn't that the
Yeah. I figured there's only a select few people who would understand where I was coming from.
That was perfection. That was perfection.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got a jam packed program here. I'm wearing a very, I wouldn't even call this snug Hawaiian shirt, just for the listeners here. If you don't end up tuning in to the video, this visual is something else. I thought I was going to be able to button this son of a bitch, but I couldn't manage it.
No.
So we're just flying free here.
That is classic Matty Meyer shirt right there. Few people could pull that off.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I had a trouble pulling it on. I'll tell you, I'm pulling it off.
Yeah,
we'll worry about that later. All right, well let's dive into it here because we had mentioned kind of doing more like a booze theme. One of the great all time drugs, one of the historically wonderful drugs.
It's definitely alcohol. The one that I've spent the most time with.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Ah, delicious. Cheers, brother.
Yeah, cheers to you, Matty.
Well, we're going to kick things off here, as we always do, with the substance report.
This is the question. Do junkies' lives matter?
Matty, Geraldo asking the tough questions. You know, the mainstream media's narrative on substance use has always been garbage. So what I like to do is pull some of the top drug-related stories in the news and give them kind of a fresh perspective.
Sure.
So we got a story here. This is a local one. And since we're on the topic of booze, this was a fun little thing I stumbled across here. This comes to us from the old PA homepage, Eyewitness News.
Oh, okay.
This is 18 businesses. This is in 1 month. This is just last month in January. 18 businesses accused of selling alcohol to minors. Several establishments in Pennsylvania have been charged. Liquor, the LCB or whatever. Selling to underage kids. They got 8 of them here in Luzerne County. I've never actually, I might have fucked around with some bath salts at the Sunoco and Nescapec here, but I don't, the rest of these places, yeah. I don't really, Friendly, Food Mart West Pittston. Yeah, I don't know. I had my go-tos for underage booze buying, but I don't know what your experience was in and around Luzerne County, but this is a lot. This feels like, they did like a big old sting operation and they caught a lot of fish, it feels like, in 1 month.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess if this were the order of the day, you could probably catch this many businesses or people selling to minors every week.
Every week, right. It's true. Yeah, I feel like it's the kind of thing where it's like once you get, people are trying to keep their establishments open too. These aren't I think I saw one Applebee's, I think I saw in here, but most of these places, Mr. Applebee's doing all right for himself, but a lot of these spots
It was probably the fucking dishwasher. He just got off a shift, clocked out, and went right around to the bar.
A drink. Absolutely. And you got to give that young man a fucking beverage after a long shift.
You do.
Those shift drinks. Yeah, this feels wild. I had a fake ID, a couple different fake IDs that I tried out over the years. So I always have my spots that once they accepted that, then I never even had to show it anymore. So I have my go-to spots. Got tripped up a convenient once in Kingston, which is, I guess, what one of these underage dudes, this dude had like a wild mullet, and a wandering eye. And he pretended to use the payphone, and I went in as... It was one of those situations where I was like, something weird's going on here. But I went in and just bought a 12-pack. And then he went in after and tried to find them and then came out and tried to cite me as well. And I was like, and he was like, oh, they said you used an ID. And I was like, I didn't show any. I wasn't about to show my fake ID. So I kept that in my pocket.
Smart move.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't know what the hell. But then eventually they had that little thing that takes a photo or whatever. So it all, it all came out in the wash, right? They were eventually
so you ended up getting busted for
that's right. Yeah, I had to go to the magistrate. So I got one of these. It was just a fine or whatever, but it was like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think convenient. It was the convenient on Pierce Street. So I don't know. Dude, I don't think they ended up getting hit, but like you can get like some of these fines are off the charts.
Are you talking about the one on Pierce Street? So if behind it would be the middle school.
Middle school. That's right. Yep.
So get this shit. One of the first times I ever tried to get alcohol when I was underage, it was me, Footy, if you remember.
Oh,
Footy.
Yeah, Footy, sure. McDermott, yeah.
Jason Decker, and I can't remember, Tom Petroni. And we went to that, so we pulled around the corner right there, and we're like, how are we going to get booze? And there's this dude just standing out there smoking a cigarette. Now, mind you, I look back, I'm like, that could have easily just been a cop.
Yep.
So we said, hey, man, you want to make, 20 bucks, buy us beer. And I'll never forget. Me and Decker still laugh about this. He took a drag. Fuck it. Yeah. Tossed a cigarette, bought us beer.
Same store.
The same one on Pierce Street.
I love right that. So that was the hot spot. We're both dipping into the convenient Pierce Street. I love that dude's like, his like life flash. He's like, what the fuck do I got going on? Like, I've been there. We've all been there. You know what?
We've all been there.
He read the situation and said, I was asked once, and I actually was talking this recently with Diana, with my wife, and was like, we were like, it's tough because you don't want to ever say no to the kids because you get it. But like, I remember one time doing it, and immediately afterwards, I was like, oh, that could have been. Because now, like, I think they've ramped up some of the, used to just be maybe a fine, but they'll get you for all sorts of endangerment and everything else. Like, you might actually get some charges if you're just the random dude.
Well, I even think about like our brothers growing up, because like my brother would hit me up. I'd be at Ms. Recording and be like, yo, me and B, we need a case of beer.
That Keystone Light.
I'm like, all right, well, whatever. Fuck it. I'll get you a case of beer. But then when you're, you know, at the time I'm, you know, 21 or 22. So you're not thinking down the line, but that could easily be them hanging out in the basement of your parents' house, getting fucked up, and then getting in their car, and everything traces back to where it started. And now all of a sudden you're doing 25 years
in
prison.
Right. No, that's
scary shit about that.
It's true. And they always do, like, that is where they'll want to find, like, I won't name any names publicly, but I had a couple of family members, that were some go-tos as well to buy.
Sure.
And you're just like, and of course, you go, it's like the kid in the candy store situation when you're able to get them to go to the liquor store, especially. Because then you're just like, and they're ordering this shit. They're like, I'm walking out with like four bottles of fucking Aftershock. Some girl wanted Goldschlager. One of the girls you're with is asking for fucking
the hard stuff.
It's like, you're all walking out and the dude's looking at them probably like, you're a fucking 35-year-old dude and you're drinking this like nine bottles of schnapps tonight, fella. All right.
Wow.
I feel like the culture, which we'll also get into a little bit here too. I have some fun trips down memory lane with some of this alcohol culture that we have here. Cause it also is like, you know, we're children of the 80s. Where it was just like the hard sell on everything, including like booze and everything else. So it was like, I feel like the culture, it just becomes, rather than like in a lot of other cultures, they're just like, man, I don't know. You have some wine sometimes when you're like, you know, with a meal, or you occasionally get a little buzz, but like, we're just like fucking like, you know, ramped up to like everything senior week. It's like, let's just go on a bender, a never ending bender where you're just like,
it is. It's like, hey man, you want to get some beers tonight? Sure. You want to play beer pong tonight? Yeah. You want to go from beer pong to flip cup. You want to do a keg stand?
Yep. Now we're doing shots. Going. Yep. Yeah.
Now we're doing shots.
Yeah. Now we're trying to haggle with a bartender to be like, just sell me the rest of that bottle of Old Crow. Look at that. Old Crow, you're watering it down. Just let me take that with me. Yeah. It's it goes out of control fast. Well, this is, I think you said it before, but I'll be like, I would love to see if this became a regular occurrence, because it feels like everybody, every establishment in Northeastern PA might get nipped at some point, because it just feels like they just cast a net and they just, there's a lot of people.
Well, I mean, man, it's fish in a barrel. When you walk the streets of, whether it's Swearsville or 44 or Kingston or Edwardsville, there is a bar on every corner.
Yeah.
So the rate of this shit happening is just exponentially higher, because the options, that they're limitless.
And specifically, in our neck of the woods too, that part of that culture is like the old beer gardens. Like, everyone converted their living room into a fucking bar at some point in the 60s or 70s. It's just, you're like, this is definitely a living room. Like, there's so many spots you go to where you're like, this dude, you know, somebody that live upstairs. Foof's is one that comes to mind. You're like, you still have your recliner. Like, Foof, this is your fucking old bratty ass recliner. I know you're sitting on there fucking naked at night, farting, shitting everywhere. And then you get up to like serve a bunch of 17-year-olds.
Yeah. At that point, he's just like, okay, well, you know, I like drinking. I know people like drinking. I'm not going to buy another property. So why not just profit off of people's insatiable hunger for booze?
That's right. And from the comfort of my own living room. It's like, fuck it.
From the comfort of my own living room.
Well, look, keep your heads on a swivel out there to the booze slangers around the valley. We're going to dive into our next segment here. And, you know, Maddie, we're, like I said before, we're kids in the 80s. We grew up in the golden age of anti-drug PSAs.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I come to find out is public service announcement, but I always thought it was propaganda, stigma, and ALF.
Losers are users, so don't use drugs.
So, Alf, bless Alf.
Oh man!
So this PSA I stumbled across. This is a funky one. This is from 1970. Actually, it's a little bit older, and it's just you know, about alcohol. It's just about being like, oh, are you an alcoholic? Here's a little you know, POV thing of a guy walking around a party, bunch of adults just drinking. And I kind of really like their responses. They're very sassy at first, and they slowly, as they start to realize they have a serious problem, you see it unravel. But there's 10 questions, I believe, in here. So I'm going to jot down a few of them as we go here, just to see what my answers would be. So here's from 1970, a vintage little number.
Because so many Americans think getting drunk is fun, we thought you might like to join us in the National Drinking Game. Just answer yes or no to the following 10 questions. Do you talk a lot about drinking?
Only when I'm awake.
Do you drink more than you used to?
I try to.
Do you gulp your drinks?
Only out of a glass.
Do you often take a drink to feel better? Do you drink alone?
Oh, Nana.
Only if I'm stuck.
Do you ever forget what you did while you were drinking? Do you keep a bottle hidden somewhere for quick pick-me-ups?
How does he know?
Do you sometimes start drinking without really thinking about it?
Sometimes.
Do you need a drink to have fun?
I do now.
Do you ever take a drink in the morning to relieve a hangover?
Uh-huh.
Congratulations. If you had 4 or more yes answers, then you may be one of over 9 million Americans with a drinking problem.
Wow.
Huh. Well.
That's one hell of a PSA.
Yes, it is. I mean, great performances all around. A lively little joint. Very merry.
Well, I just love how the air came out of the room right around question 4.
Question 4.
Just fucked up the whole party.
Yep. As soon as there were 3 yeses in a row, people started looking at the floor, kind of peeking around, sitting in their drinks. I love the sass though. There was some sass early on, kind of like early who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
But then he really got him at the end there. I feel like 4 out of those 10. Just like a lot of those things are reasons, they are reasons to drink in the first place. And it's like, do you talk about drinking? And it's like, I talk about taking a dump when I take a dump. I mean, you talk about what you do during the day. I mean, it's not,
If it's something you're doing, you're bound to talk about
it. Yeah, I'm a talker. I'll talk and talk, so whatever the hell. Yeah. I don't know what that one was. But there's a few that like.
What constitutes talking about it? It's like if I'm having a beer with my buddy and I say, hey, what kind of beer are you drinking? Oh, well, I'm drinking an IPA. What are you drinking? I'm drinking an amber. Does that make you a fucking alcoholic?
You have a problem. Well, that's one down. 3 to
one
go.
Down.
3 to go, apparently. 4 also, 4 out of 10. I'm like, that's a poor shooting percent. Like, you feel like you should at least have to go over half before you start considering yourself. That 9 million number seems like it's probably like 5 times that now as well. Like, how quaint was that?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's fun. It's a fun twist on, because you oftentimes see, of course, the PSAs, somebody gets behind the wheel, tragedy ensues.
Sure.
Somebody slapping the kids around. It's an angry drunk situation. This genuinely just looked like people just getting, maybe you have a holiday party. Might look like an old-timey, talk about in the living room bar. It was somebody's living room bar. Everyone's getting together.
Yeah, it looked like a really good New Year's Eve party.
Having a good,
like a good New Year's Eve.
It did.
That's what it looked like.
Yep. And it just so happened that it was, a Tuesday afternoon, but so I guess there was a
Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. It was the early crowd. The pre-work grab assery in there. But that's a little bit for the listeners. If you want to, if you can answer 4, I guess it's 4 out of 10, which feels like a low threshold, a very low threshold.
It definitely feels low. I would like to see. I mean, obviously PSAs aren't what they used to be. I would like to see what the updated version of that looks like.
Yes.
What does it look like?
What are the 10 questions now?
Do you go to a college party and do 6 keg stands in a night?
Right. it is funny because it's like the binge drinking it's just such a tough thing to nail down. It's everyone's like individual situation. You kind of know it, when you're self-medicating too hard or you're not feeling great or whatever, whatever you got going on. It's like everybody knows it when you push yourself there. So it's like it's hard to say in anyone, if you answer these things or if you do that. I'm like, people go on runs and then they stop drinking. It's like I feel like everybody like chain smoking and binge drinking, at least from our crew growing up. It's like you slowly, most people slowly, as the body starts, as it starts to be, more difficult to fucking get drag yourself out of bed in the morning. It's like no more benders. You got to go low and slow.
I'll tell you what, kids, that's the thing. A hangover with a baby, it's hell.
It's not the worst. No, you're sick.
It's absolute worst.
You are a masochist if you are actually just like, I want to be hungover with. No, there's no.
It's awful.
great way to keep it in your pants is have children. So I just have a bunch of kids. If you answer 4 out of 10 of those questions, then have a child. Is
have
the
a
answer.
Fucking kid. You go down to 2.
Yep. You'll be you'll be right down to 2. So that's maybe on the more somber side of boozing. But I feel like we need to pick up the energy here. So we go from the 70s. We're sliding on into the 80s. And I have a little segment called Fog of Drug War.
War. It's fantastic.
With any war, there's some confusion. There's a lot of weird things that happen. You hear this about any sorts of conflict. So I feel like this, the fogginess of what took place here in the 1980s is pretty great. And it involves a little creature. I'll call him a creature. More man than dog. And I've actually believed the dog was a woman. Played by a woman anyhow. But this is Spuds McKenzie, of course, we're talking about here.
Oh,
so,
man.
So this was, at least for me, this is the most absurd ad campaigns. Not just because you're like, oh, all right, you're going to have a bull terrier sell your beer. But also the sexualized nature of it all was very bizarre. So I pulled this spot here. We'll start with this one where it's just like, all right, these ladies are going to fuck this dog.
Check him out.
What a hunk.
Get a load of him.
Well, there's a super party animal. His name is Buds McKenzie. With a beach in sight and a cold Bud Light, he's in the party frenzy.
He's Buds McKenzie. What party loving happening dude?
Go, go Spuds, go, Spuds, go.
Bye, Spuds. Call me.
Go, Spuds, go, Spuds, go.
Wow.
So now...
I forgot about Spuds.
So Spuds is the fever dream. Like, I mean, you talk about the 80s. You got some ad execs zooted to high hell. They're on day 4 of a wild coke binge when they're just like talking to their dog, and it's like, you know what? Would like sex sells even when it's the interspecies situation. Because I'm like, not only just giving the dog beer, which is mildly irresponsible. He seems to be quite a party animal. He seems to be enjoying himself. But I'm just like the very strange flirtation of it all was a lot. I mean, those were super. I think the premiere of Spuds was a Super Bowl spot, of course.
Yeah,
they really wanted to come in strong with a Super Bowl ad, and I think there was like some backlash, ensued. So some people were maybe, of course, maybe the animal rights people, but I think just decency in general maybe came through. They're like, all right, there's silliness, fine, you put on a poster or whatever, but these spots are getting too. Like people are exchanging phone numbers and they're licking their chops. It's very strange.
it's an odd one because like you said, putting sunglasses on a dog is very funny.
Yes,
putting a fake beer next to a dog sitting in a lawn chair also kind of funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Insinuating that the dog might get some pussy, that's a little odd.
He looked satisfied. I mean, let's be honest. We've all seen when a dog gets a little restless. You start humping the leg. He's not humping any legs. He has no knee. He looked very, very satisfied.
He's comfortable.
He is very comfortable. He's bloated on Bud Light and he's getting his lipstick tugged. He's good. He's in good shape. And also, again, I think it was a lady dog, which is also very funny.
That is very funny.
But, there was parents, of course, people are coming out. There was a lot of, the conservative circles. People are like, oh, you're selling it to kids. Obviously, kids, adults wouldn't find it, which, of course, I'm watching it and laughing right now. So adults can enjoy Spuds. It's fucking hilarious. It's hilarious that it happened such a massive brand, like not just some weird regional like car salesman doing some stunt. This is like fucking this is Bud Light, man. This is
Bud Light, man.
One of the big boys.
Top of the
Xanax Bush. Yeah. So, people were a little pissy about Spuds. And so they decided to take a turn with him. And in this spot, they decided to, be like, all right, hey. It's all fun and games at the beach when Spud's getting drunk and balls deep. But listen, let's just take it down a minute and let's just remind the kids that when you're getting your dog drunk and fucking them, you got to be responsible.
Do you know why Spuds McKenzie has so much fun at parties? Because he's always in control. And he knows how to make a party laugh. It takes good sense to have a good time. And Spuds knows it's cool to live by one simple rule. Know when to say when.
A reminder from Anheuser-Busch.
So now, this is almost more bizarre than the...
It's strange.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Because, the party doesn't, you know, go on forever. You know, Spud's getting a little older. As we talked about, yep. He answered yes to 10 out of 10 of the questions, most likely.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
He doesn't have much agency. He's a goddamn dog. So he's looking around like, who the fuck is responsible for me? You know, for me, I don't even wipe my own ass. So now they're like,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's a beacon of responsible drinking.
That commercial, he takes on a little bit of a, he went from like David Hasselhoff to Hugh Hefner.
He did get heffy. He got a little,
he got very heffy.
Yes,
on it.
Yes. No, yeah. I feel like there's velvets, there's satin sheets now. Like he took a turn. Yeah. He's running with the ritzy crowd there, which is probably why he's like, people don't like the butt chug. And he's like, when I was on the beach, man, with that crowd, like I would butt chug and they'd be like, Spud, Spud, yeah. You can't be doing
having
that.
Having a good time.
He was sitting on a fucking baby grand piano, for Christ's sake, during that spot. So.
Remember, people put these ad campaigns together.
And
this
spent millions happened. And shit ton of money. And, you know, I think it's actually remarkable that their Bud Light's response to this, like, all right, enough with the fucking the dog getting drunk during the Super Bowl and shit. My kids are getting weirded out by it. They're like, all right, we hear you. We're going to now we're doing a responsible. We want everyone to know that this dog is responsible. He knows when to say when.
Yeah.
Which is something dogs never. I mean, you know, your dog would eat and drink until its stomach exploded, likely. So I don't know where Spuds is getting his restraint from, but. All right. Well, Maddie, listen, I'm going to get you out of here. But not before I do. I want the listeners to get to know a little bit more about you.
Sure, buddy.
You know, we know a lot about Spuds McKenzie. We know a lot about what makes you an alcoholic. But we want to know a little bit more about the Grammy Award winning songwriter, Matt Rogers.
All right, pal.
So let's slide on in to the user studio. We end our podcast session with the weekly dose version of the questionnaire that was used masterfully for 24 years by the great James Lipton inside the actor's studio. And the first question is, Matty Rogers, what is your favorite drug?
Music.
Ooh, that's not NA music either now. That's
not
alcoholic music.
No NA songs in my world.
Beautiful. What is your least favorite drug?
Stress.
What age were you the first time you found yourself under the influence?
Music, probably 8. Alcohol, 16.
Ooh, you found your love. What celebrity's overdose death has had the most profound effect on you?
I would probably say Scott Weiland. I'm a huge Stone Temple.
STP.
Stone Temple Pilots fan. Yeah, that one was tough.
Absolutely. It was a long struggle for Scott.
Yeah, long.
What a talent.
It's like I watched a god die.
What is your favorite slang word for cannabis?
Weed.
Classic. A classic gentleman.
I mean, it's classic.
Absolutely. What drug would you like to deal for a living?
Booze. I want to bootleg that shit. Back to the bootlegging days.
Ha ha! Yes. Maddie's moonshine.
Yeah.
I'd take a sip of that, my friend.
And I'm close to Kentucky.
Ooh, that's right. That'll strip the varnish right there. Feel that one going down. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
What drug would you absolutely not like to deal under any circumstances?
Oh, man. I see it in the South a lot. Opioids, man. Not good. Big problem down here.
Yes. And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear Scott Weiland say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I am smelling like a rose
that somebody gave me on my birthday. That's bad.
That's right.
Hell yes. Matty, here are your drug uses.
Oh, man.
Dare I say that STP is underrated? Dare I say it? I feel like, because of course everyone knows him, but I do feel like that grunge era, they were right up there.
And I think it's because they were from San Diego. And I don't think the Seattle crowd
there it is.
Wanted to embrace it.
Yep, not grunge enough.
But they were. Fuck, they were grunge enough.
They most certainly were.
Yeah.
Well, listen, my friend, this was wonderful. We should touch base more often, whether or not it's for the entertainment of others. It's so nice to hear from you.
Dude, such a blast, man.
Where can listeners, where should we direct them? I don't know if you're big on the socials.
I'm not. I honestly, I have I've never had Facebook, any of that stuff. I do have Instagram, but I only follow basketball pages and some Stone Temple Pilots pages.
Yes.
But I am not somebody who puts myself out there. I
love that.
Not.
Stay off them socials.
I know. It's a lot.
Well, listen, brother, I love you. So great to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Oh, shit, Maddie.
For this, doing this.
What a blast, man.
Yeah.
It's so good to see you.
You too, my man. And thank you to everyone for listening. This has been your Weekly Dose.
Hey, America, there's no use in sleeping with your children, with your daughters, with your sons, and with your husband.
Self-Medicated Weekly Dose is hosted and produced by me, Murph Meyer, with support from Pop Culture Collaborative. Our theme song is My Congressman by 15, courtesy of Jeff Ott and Hopeless Records. Original artwork and production design by Diana Kolsky. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the program, you can listen to new episodes of Weekly Dose every Wednesday. Just look for the Murph Meyer is Self-Medicated feed wherever you get your podcasts. While you're at it, subscribe to the Self-Medicated YouTube channel to see new video clips from the show each week. Follow me on Instagram at Murph Meyer. And for some top-shelf harm reduction resources, head over to selfmedicatedpod.com. Also, don't forget, you can call the Weekly Dose podcast anytime to leave me a voicemail message with your thoughts on drugs and the people who use them. Just pick up the phone and dial 443-MK-ULTRA. All right, that's about it for me. I'll see you next week. Love and solidarity. Goodbye.